Do you find that true in your life, where if we just take the time to thank God, we'll feel better? I mean, it's logical, but we need to apply it into our lives. And I really have remembered that from that time when that lady at work had pulled me aside and said, at break time, if you would just come on out and meet me, and I'll take my break at the same time. And she was a mature Christian, and she just said, Terry, just name one thing, and name more, and name more. By the time I was done talking to her, I felt a whole lot better, because my focus shifted from what I was troubled about to what I was blessed with. And it gave me opportunity to praise God. Well, we can see that now as being important in particular, right? The world that we live in and the circumstances we're facing in America today, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the stuff going on is stressful. And it can consume us. So if we would take the time as Christians to say, God, thank you for my family, or thank you for providing for our bills, or thank you for the comforts that you've given, whatever the case might be, we have an opportunity to thank God for that, and it will lift our hearts and it will glorify God. But having said that, we need to remember also to share those things with other people. We need to let other people know that God is involved in our lives, and that we know him, and that he has blessed us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I pray, Father, that you will give a special blessing to each individual. May each of us receive from you today in your house a word from you. Sometimes, Father, people will receive something from you that has not related to the message at all. It's just you, dear Holy Spirit, speaking to their heart. I pray things like that will happen. I pray that through your word and the example and the message that you would speak to our hearts, that you feed our souls, that you lift our spirit, that you focus our faith to be fine-tuned, and that we'll walk away filled up and with a thankful heart and a praising heart and a focused heart on you. And I just pray you're blessed this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Christians and as churches, we should spend more time acknowledging what God has done for us and through us. I've been reading some books. Some of my devotional books are, there's a one was 100 verses that America was built on. And so every verse and how prominent person in our American history had relied on a certain verse and how God had used that to impact our country. And I think about that because as I've been reading in that book and some other Christian historical books about Christians and their stand, that one of the things that they did that we don't necessarily, I'm not saying that we don't, but that we don't necessarily see applied in our lives so much, is that of talking about God in every area of our life. For example, in our prayer time, you've heard me mention that we should be able to acknowledge God in our prayer time just to acknowledge the word of God, right? Lord, you said this. You said, you know, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Well, I'm casting my care on you, and I'm trusting you to take care of it and to take care of me. And we start leaning on the word of God. But what they did that was so prominent in the early time period of our country, and I'm sure in other time periods as well, is that scripture and life experiences with Christ as believers in Christ were integrated in normal conversation on a regular basis. I mean, every time they talked with somebody or wherever, whatever they were doing, their focus was consistently on God as believers, and it was just naturally came out of their life, and they talked about Jesus. They talked about their relationship. They talked about the word as they lived their life. And so they were imbued or infused with a relationship with Christ that overflowed in every area of their life. And do you understand what I'm saying? So how often do we hear ourselves in conversation day by day, including a testimony, or and it doesn't have to be formal, but you can casual conversation, man, I'm so glad God helped me today. Man, it was rough getting up today, did not want to go to work, but God refreshed me. That's a form of a testimony. It doesn't have to be formal. It's integrating it into our conversation. And so as you and I as believers integrate in our conversation, in our prayer life, in our written, if you write letters, nobody writes letters, but emails or texting or whatever, that it should start to be seeing more and more in our lives the effect of our walk with Jesus being seen every time we are communicating with people. And I think that is a witness. It is a witness that people will say, man, this person doesn't seem to stop talking about Jesus. You know, you've probably heard that before, right? But to have that type of relationship to where others see Jesus in us in every aspect of our lives and we're communicating it in a natural way is a way to be a witness to those around us. I asked if there's anybody that'd like to share a testimony this morning, one or two short line testimonies, that something that they're thankful for. Anybody have anything they're thankful for? Somebody said they had a whole scroll they could drop. Be careful what you say. Anyone? Debbie?
I'm thankful for grandchildren.
For grandchildren. Amen. Yeah.
Your grandchildren that I love.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thankful for the struggles.
Thankful for the struggles. God bless you for that.
It reminds me to look to God.
Yeah.
I can't do it on my own.
Here you go. Can't do it on your own. Gotta look to God. Amen. Juan?
I'm thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus did in order for us to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Juan is an evangelistic guy. He's a brand new Christian, but boy, he puts the gospel out there wherever he can. Anyone else? No? Oh, back in the back.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the kind provision.
The kind what?
Provision.
Provisions. I thought you said that, but I wasn't sure it was in Spanish. You got your mask on, yeah. Yeah, God's provisions for us. Barbara?
I'm grateful to my Lord for the praise and glory that he has and he only deserves. And I thank him for my great granddaughter that was born yesterday.
Yay. Yeah, your great granddaughter born yesterday. That's right. Praise God for that. Somebody else? Steve?
Yeah, I've been struggling a little bit with all of this stuff with the pandemic and the election and all this stuff, but I'm grateful. God has shown me over and over again, he's control all of it. And no matter what happens, he's still our Lord and Savior, and we're still his, and he's still at work.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. No matter what mess is going on, God is sovereign, and he's in control, and he's still doing his work. Praise God for that. Stan? Yeah. Being thankful that we can come together and worship the Lord is really, we're seeing more and more in today's time what a great privilege that is.
Tim? I knew Stan would steal mine, but I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ as well. The iron, sharpening iron, when we get together, I've seen throughout this stuff that's been going on, when we come together, you may feel down, but when we get together afterwards, renewed and refreshed.
Yeah.
See the direction to go.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Being iron sharpens iron. That's one of the things that we've talked about at the men's group on Tuesday night. And to encourage each other with the truth and to build each other up. So thank you, you know, that we have that to rely on one another. You know, and we've been working so hard. I'm so thankful as a husband and a father and a grandfather that I see my kids and my grandchildren serving the Lord, my wife, being a strong, committed Christian woman that serves the Lord tirelessly. And so I'm so thankful and so rich with that. So we have things to be thankful for. And as you've heard many people in our congregation, our small congregation, share that this morning, but we feel the blessings of the Spirit of God honoring that too, if you know what I'm saying. You sense the Holy Spirit being pleased with us giving him thanks for acknowledging him and thanking him. Sonova's little baby granddaughter, cute as can be, with her head on her shoulder, looking at me in the pew behind her, just blessed my heart. And I just wave at her, and then she just looked like this at me, like, dude. So anyways, what a blessing for all of us to be together and to worship the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. I want to quickly look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 22. I'm going to read through that, maybe make a comment or two, and go on. But it says, and just, it's a little bit, it's not too long, but just read through me. Read it with me as we go through it. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in the multitude. And I love that last verse. There's a few points here we'll look at in a moment. But the fact that the not just was the seed of Abraham multiplied and created a nation of Israel, but the spiritual seed of Abraham, the faith that Abraham had in God's promises that he would send a deliverer, a redeemer, the Holy One, the Messiah, who would pay for his sins, and that he could rely on. By faith, he accepted that. Even though it had not yet come to pass, he believed it because God said he would provide it. And so the many believers in God, in Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior, is reflected through that statement that through the descendants of Abraham, the forefathers of Israel, many were spiritually born and became alive, put their faith in God like Abraham did. And of course, we know that Jesus is the Messiah who came out of Israel. You know, if you ask yourself the question, why do we focus on Israel? Why do we pray for Israel? Why does God say that if we pray for Israel and support Israel, that he will bless us? It's because, one, they're his chosen people. Two, because our Messiah, our Savior, came from them. Three, because he holds them with great regard and wants to work through them to reveal who he is and his love in greater ways. So there's a lot of things involved there, but God loves when we as God's people support and pray for Israel, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So here, real quickly, what was Moses reminding us about in that passage of scripture we read? In verse 14, everything belongs to God. God is in control and sovereign. You know, like Steve was saying in his testimony, we need to shift back to that, right? When we are feeling the anxiety of everything that's going on, just shift back. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. We have the Savior, Jesus, in our heart. He promises never to leave us or forsake us, and he's in control of everything. Our tomorrow is in his hands. And so when we start thinking about, oh boy, we're going to have all this, and we add it up in our mind what's going on, that anxiety increases, and we have to just step back and say, God's in control. My Father's in control. I am his child, and I can rely on him to take care of me. The future is no surprise to God. It may be a surprise to me and to you, but it isn't to God, and he has his plan and purpose in each of our lives. In verse 15, God chose Israel like he chooses us. He chose Israel to follow him, and he chooses us to follow him. You know, every baptism is a statement that said, I've received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm making it plain to all of you that I'm not ashamed of that. And I want you to know I've made that decision, and I want to lay down my life, give up my life, and live my new life following Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what God has encouraged Israel to do, to accept the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And many, 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 many Jews today, there are many, many messianic congregations in Israel today, and they're increasing more and more and more. Praise God for that. And we want people around the world to know Jesus as well. In verse 17, there's three things I want to point out there, that God is God. No one else is above him, parallel to him, equal to him. God is God. God is God, the God of God. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying God is God, and he lives in you as a believer in Christ. The creator of heaven and earth, sovereign Lord and King, Messiah, he lives in every believer. And so he's God, and we're secured in the hands of our Father. God is mighty and awesome. Praise God for that. Have you ever seen God work in your life in ways that you didn't expect? That just worked through a situation that you're going, I didn't know how that was going to pan out, but man, God did it. Praise God for that. He's awesome and he's mighty. Nothing's too small for him to take care of. The third point in verse 17 is that God shows no partiality and takes no bribe. He can be trusted. God is honest and reliable, and there's no manipulation involved. He is truth, and he's there for us, and we can trust him. There's not many that we can 100% trust in, because Scripture says if we rely on the arm or the flesh of man, we will be let down, and I'm paraphrasing that. If we rely on people, we're going to be let down no matter how close we are. But we can rely on God, and he won't let us down. He may not work things out the way we think, we would like them, but as we grow closer to him, we'll realize that what he's doing is for our best and for our benefit, because he loves each one of us. Verse 18, God administers justice for those without help. He will intervene for people. He will help people. Verse 18, God loves the stranger and provides for them. And in that passage of scripture in verse 18, talking about how poor the Israelites were in Egypt, how he led them out of Egypt, how he provided for them in the wilderness. Well, we're to remember that God has provided for us in times that we didn't know how that provision was going to be given. Who was it? Somebody said in here, Damaris in the back, I'm thankful for God's provisions, because we don't know sometimes how things are going to be provided for us. I've shared with you many times, and I love to share the testimony of it. You know, we had a washing machine and dryer that we bought when we were first married, and we said, Lord, we just don't have the money to pay for it. And we never told a soul about it. We never communicated it except between each other, and went to God in prayer and said, God, will you provide it? The monthly minimum due payment was $50. Guess what happened? Out of the blue, no kidding, no lie, absolutely true, we got a cashier's check, so it wasn't a personal check, so we didn't know who it came from, every month for $50, and it absolutely stopped when our debt was paid on that washing machine and dryer. And we still don't know today who it is. I have a suspicion, but it's only suspicion. I have no reason, have no proof. But God took care of it, and God provided. God can give us, and he will. He knows what we need, and he will take care of us, and we can rely on him. He just wants us to depend on him with a wholeheartedness. It says, God, you're my God. You're God of gods. You're King of kings. You're Lord of lords. You're my Savior. You live in my heart. I'm your child. You're my Father. You love me. You'll take care of me. The future is not mine. It's yours. My future you already know, but you're always there with me and won't ever leave me or forsake me. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. He administers justice for those without help. God loves the stranger and provides for them. God is our praise and has done great and awesome things for us. You know, in the course of this message, I want you to walk away with at least one thing. You may have many things you walk away with, but one thing I want you to walk away with is that in these times, look purposely for the things to give God thanks for. Look purposely for the things to be thankful for. You've heard it before, but it resonates in my mind how clearly God is involved in our lives. Those of you that know me have heard this before, but those of you that don't, I obviously haven't heard this. But when I had my heart attacks 8 years ago, believe it or not, as I had those three heart attacks in that one weekend, God, plain as day, as I was getting in the ambulance, he said, "Terry, you're not going to die." Just plain as day, "Terry, you're not going to die." I had such assurance. It wasn't like I was big time worried about it either. It was just him interceding, saying, "Look, if you think about this, you're not going to die." And the joyful part was this. As I'm in the ambulance, I'm like a seven-year-old boy in a cool ambulance, looking around at all the stuff. I'm looking out the back glass doors, and I'm seeing all the cars pull off the road, and they're going fast as they can go. And I'm like, "Wow, this is so cool," until the EMT goes, slams her hands up against the wall, holds the EMT next to her, and I'm strapped down in a gurney. And she says, "Hold on, we're going to flip over," because someone on 198 decided to cross in front of the ambulance going at that high speed. And she was sure that we were going to swerve and flip over. And so she yells out, "Hold on." Well, I'm still having fun. And my arms are strapped down. And I yell out to her and I said, "I can't hold on. My arms are strapped in." No, we didn't flip over. But you know what? I think about that experience in my life, that God, who is my Savior, who is real, who is my Father, who loves me as he does you as believers in Christ and non-believers, he loves you, that he was right there and he just kind of cradled me in his hand. He said, "You're not going to die. Don't worry about it." Took that burden off of me, and I just had, that was a great time. So anybody that says you had three heart attacks in 1 weekend and had a great time in the ambulance is a little, you know, but it was because of God. And so we can trust in him and rely on him for those things. So what we read in this passage of scripture does not even come close to all the things that God does for us, that things that are awesome, things that are astounding, things that we don't expect, things that we see the hand of God intervene in our life and go, "Wow, I can't believe that God did that." But we're to give God praise. If our kids come to us telling us thank you for what we've done for them, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel good. So, in essence, when we thank God and praise God, we're not just making him feel God. We are, in essence, blessing God. You ever think about that? That because of what he's done through us and our acknowledgement of that, giving him thanks and praise, we're blessing God for the goodness that he's given us. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. I want to just look at the fact that we are to hold on to the richness of God's blessings in our lives. I've told people before on their deathbed not to wait this down. Or I've watched people in their lives build their lives up with all the stuff they have in their lives. My point is, your identity could be a husband, a wife, a child, a sister, a brother, an administrator, whatever career you have, whatever the case is. All these hats that we wear that identify who we are, when we get down to that time when we're no longer in that position anymore, or maybe we're isolated and our family's not around us, or we're not playing the parent role anymore, and I'm not in my career. And that's what I was talking about with people in convalescent homes that are, they know that, or even on their deathbed, when everything is stripped around that gave them their identity, for the believer, what stands true was their faith, was their relationship with Jesus. What made them fulfilled in life and significant in life was not the career, not the family, not the marriage, not all these things. They were great. But what made them feel significant was they were a child of God. They had a relationship with Jesus, and their life was built on him. So they don't have to look at their life and go, "What was that all about?" If we follow the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, as it was told in that passage of Scripture, then at the end of our life, we can say, all this stuff was not a waste of time because I followed Jesus. I was in his will, doing what he called me to do. Despite all the negative or bad things that might go on in our lives or this world, we have a mighty God. We have a mighty God who does great and awesome things that we can praise him for. Look at the beauty of creation around us. You can go to the national parks, head out into dry camping, right? I've never done it, but I've heard about it. You know, dry camping, going out wherever and enjoying nature. That's just a gift from God to each one of us to enjoy. We need to be diligent more and more and more about taking time to remember what God has done for us and to remember it all of our lives. Some of you write diaries, and those diaries will one day pass down possibly to your children. And your children may look at those diaries or look at those studies that you've done and you've written notes in, or your Bible, and you've got notes in the margin or whatever, and they're going to get even a deeper glimpse of who you are in your relationship with Jesus. We are to praise him. We are to pay attention to him every day. We're to pay attention to him because of the answered prayers that he gives us. We're to pay attention to him because of the creation that is all around us, the beauty that's around us. Even waking up early in the morning and watching hummingbirds fly around the yard. I love that. It's just little things like that that just are gifts from God for us to enjoy. We're to praise him for other Christians that we know. Have you been impacted by other Christians? Have you been blessed or discipled or impacted by others that have faith in Jesus Christ? Praise God for them. God put them in your life for a reason. Finally, I want to read Revelation 4:10. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Everything was created by God. The creator of all things lives in your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that he can't do or accomplish on your behalf. There is no circumstance that is so dire that God can't take care of. There's no future so uncertain that God doesn't already have in his hands. Amen. We can rely on him. We can thank him. We can praise him for who he is and his love for us. God's creation alone that we live in is enough for God to receive praise, glory, and honor from us. Let me ask you a question. You think this building at one time was planned and blueprinted and then built, right? Mm-hmm. Right? If you go to New York City and World Trade Center, I was there years ago, okay, before it crumbled. But looking at all those buildings in New York City or Miami or San Francisco or LA or Dallas and all these places or different parts of the world and different countries, all those things, we know those buildings were made by a builder. Right? Is that true? So when we look at creation and the beauty of creation, it didn't just happen. It was planned, designed, and built by the builder, Jesus, our creator. And so we should give him praise more and more for that. I said finally earlier, just to kind of, you know, tantalize you a little bit. But in Psalm 96, 1 through 4, and this is the last passage, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Praise him. How much time do you and I spend praising God? Does God put a song on your heart sometimes when you don't expect it? In the most unusual places and circumstances, all of a sudden you're starting to sing. And yet God is stirring our heart to praise him. Why does he do that? Because he knows our burden. And he wants to lift our heart. I told you before, I was in the kitchen cooking. I was mad and frustrated and burdened about something, and I was just in a sour mood. And down deep in my heart, I heard this little tiny movement. I felt this movement of this song, literally felt this little song kind of working inside down deep in my spirit. And I mentally said, no, I don't want to sing that. I'm not going to because I'm mad. You know, it's like, yet the Lord, so then it just kept staying there. And so I gave in and I started singing, started humming, right? And my heart started lifting. And then God said, Terry, I'm only trying to pick you up. In the midst of all the stuff, I'm right there with you and I'm stirring in your heart to lift you up. And what do you think my response to that was? Praise. It was praise and thankfulness to God. So look and watch and see how God is working in your life to lift you up. And look at the things that he's done for your life. And praise him for that. Acknowledge him for that. And in doing so, you will be blessing God, your creator, your heavenly Father. And he will be pleased. Every day we should be proclaiming the good news of his salvation to others. You realize that when we talk about Jesus, as I mentioned before, when God is integrated into our thoughts, into our actions, into our conversations, into our communications, into our social media, whatever, it's a way that we witness to others about our faith and relationship with Jesus. And it should be something that exudes out of our heart into every area of our lives. It's the best way that we can witness. Sharing praise about who God is, his character, his love, his mercy, and the salvation he gave you are the best words for witnessing you have. People say, I'm scared to witness. I'm scared to share Christ with others. Don't even go there. Just know that you know how you receive Christ, and you know what Christ means to you, and you know how he interacts in your life. Just communicate that. God helped me today. God took care of this. God, I need you right now. God, I'm so frustrated. Be real. But focus on God and let other people know that you do, and it will be a witness to others. It'll actually become more and more easy as you do. So let's go out there to a world that has no hope. So many people don't have the hope of Jesus Christ in their life. Maybe some of you in here today have never asked Jesus in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to remind you, God loves you so much, immeasurably so, that you have no clue. We don't know how much God loves us, but he loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, God forgives all sin except one. The one sin God doesn't forgive is rejecting his son. And so I encourage you to acknowledge the Lord, thank him for dying on the cross for your sins, thank him for providing a way of salvation, tell him you're sorry for your sins, and ask him to come live in your heart, and he will, and you'll live a new life in Jesus. But you and I, as believers in Christ, are called to be a light and a salt in the world. And if there's ever a time for us to be proclaiming the praises and thanking God in our community and wherever we are, it's now. People need hope in Jesus Christ. So let's get out there each day and share our thankful praises for God and the great and awesome things that he has done, because he has. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for the many different testimonies that you allowed people to share, just a quick testimony of something they're thankful for. I want to thank you, Father, that there are always countless things that we can look to you for to give you thanks. If there be those times where our heart doesn't feel like being thankful, help us to ask you to give us a thankful heart. When we're feeling down, where we don't see the things to be thankful for, let us ask you to open our eyes to see. give us the courage and the heart that's stirred to respond to the prompting of you, to say thank you for the simplest and the most easiest of things to be thankful for, even the obvious things, and begin to give you thanks and to give you praise and to honor you as you deserve. May we do that as your people, and may those around us see our love and our appreciation and our thankful hearts towards you and our praise to you. And may it touch lives, and may it encourage those that don't know you to say, I want to have that joy. I want to have that peace. I want to have that security. I want to have that hope and promise that you hold on to. I want to have that relationship that you have with Jesus, with God. And I pray, Father, you work through each one of us that way as your children. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.